Welcome back to another episode of Sales Transformation brought to you by Leadium. Today, we have Leandra Fishman, CRO at Apollo IO, joining us to share her journey in sales leadership. Colin, back to you.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Sales Transformation brought to you by Leadium. I'm your host, Colin Mitchell, and today I've got Leandra Fishman on today. She's the CRO over at Apollo. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Colin. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we just realized that we're pretty much neighbors, so that's pretty cool.
I know. Go East Bay, right?
Yeah, yeah. Have you been in the Bay for a long time or no?
Yeah, actually, I spent my whole entire life in the Bay. I was in the South Bay and then on the peninsula. I recently came over to Oakland probably about 6 years ago. And yeah, just enjoy the diversity, the walkability, and being close to the city.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, we love it. We moved here recently, but love it. Well, before we jump in here, just give us a little bit of background on yourself before we kind of jump into the topic today, and then we'll sort of take it from there.
Awesome. I have been in sales my whole career. I think going on probably about 35 years now. So it's been quite a while and never planned to get into sales. I kind of joke, you know, with people, yeah. What did you want to be when you grow up? Because I don't think a lot of people grow up and say, when I grow up, I want to be a sales rep. Maybe unless you have a parent or you've seen kind of, you know, somebody that's in sales. But I kind of stumbled into sales and I've had an awesome opportunity to experience a lot of different company sizes from, you know, 10-person startups to Fortune 500 companies across a lot of different industries and verticals, consumer hardware, enterprise software, manufacturing services, and really the fun of these different stages and being able to be at every single level, you know, as you kind of have had different experiences in your career. And what I'm really most passionate about is solving problems, building teams, and really helping make an impact in a way that I can measure it in terms of revenue.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think anybody grows up saying they want to be in sales. Most people, it's their plan B or C. But there is a lot of people doing a lot of great work to try to change that.
Yes.
You know, I think that for a long time, you know, sales has kind of been a dirty word, but you know, there's a big difference between people that do it right and not. And so I'm just kind of curious, you know, what made you stick with sales?
Yeah, I stumbled into sales really coming in from my first job in a sales office, but working in kind of the customer success area. So I was just assigned to accounts and I was a little bit of a mix of, you know, kind of order processing and account management and, you know, kind of administrative work. But what I loved is solving problems. And to me, I never considered it sales. I don't think I really knew what sales was at that time. But what I loved is building relationships and solving problems and then seeing how that impacting was helping customers, you know, propel their business forward with whatever product or service that I was selling, but also, you know, really seeing the impact that it had then on a company in terms of growth. And so I think that whole energy and essence of really grounding myself into being of service really resonated with me.
Yeah. And at what point did you go into sales leadership?
Yeah, that's an interesting journey because I never had a plan for my career. I was never like, oh, I want to get to, you know, this stage or this position. Yeah. Actually, I was told very early on that I wasn't going to be successful because I actually didn't have a college degree. And I didn't grow up with kind of that environment of kind of education. And I was, you know, wasn't in a kind of a nurturing family environment that was really stable. And so I kind of navigated my way, I think, for my first, you know, 18 years with a lot of kind of unsupervision and independence and didn't really think about, you know, what was my potential, or I didn't think about what my career opportunities were. So when I got into sales and I was like, wow, this is kind of interesting here. I went to the VP of my organization and I said, I think I'm good at this. I think I want to take the next step.
Yeah.
He said, do you have a college degree? And I said, no, I don't have a college degree. And he said, you're never going to be successful without a college degree. Now this was a shocker to me. Like I was like, oh, I didn't understand this was a thing because I didn't grow up with that type of environment of, you know, kind of that family or friends or parents like nurturing young minds. I was just like, oh, I'll just figure this out. Yeah. And so at that point, I recognized like that I had a ceiling and I started to feel really insecure because I thought I'm not going to be successful. And if I'm not successful, that means I'm not smart. And if I'm not smart, then, you know, I'm not good enough. And so I really kind of started a little bit of a spiral. So I was like, okay, I got to go back to school. But, you know, I didn't feel like I was really clear about what I wanted to do. And so I wasn't passionate about it. So I just kept my head down. I just like worked really hard. And I just recognized in a sales organization, the only thing that people care about is the number.
Yeah.
That's all they talk about.
Not the degree.
If,
That's changed a lot, though, I think, you know.
It has. But back in the day, it's like you hit the number, you're good, you don't, you're bad. And I recognize that when you take really good care of your customers and you solve problems, like that number just, it was coming naturally. But I also recognize that, you know, there's going to be a ceiling for me. And so I didn't think a career was possible to get into leadership. So I spent about 3 years being, you know, kind of like an inside sales, you know, type rep and in customer service, and then kind of jumped into that next layer and then had a little bit more sales responsibility. Didn't even know what a commission plan was or understand, you know, hitting those numbers and making that extra money. Spent another 3 years then getting into field sales. So I was probably about 9 years into my career until I went to a startup, and there was an opportunity that as the startup was growing to hire a manager or a director of that team. So about 9 years in, I felt like I had kind of mastered, you know, the art of being a great salesperson. So I went to that VP and I said, I think I can be a leader. I think I can be in management. And he says, you can't be in management. You don't have the experience. You don't have the background. And I looked at the job description, and at the bottom, it said college degree required. Now, again, because I didn't have that background and I had felt very insecure about it, I was like, oh, I get it. This is like the ceiling that a degree gets you to get to that next level. And so I said, you're right. This person's amazing. And I don't have, you know, all of this experience. I said, why don't you go find that person? In the meantime, can I do the job for free? I didn't ask for the title. I didn't ask for the money. I was just like, I think I can just help. And so can I just do it while you find that person? And 6 months later, they didn't find the perfect person. They realized she's not doing such a bad job. And that was my first step into leadership.
Wow. That's pretty bold.
Yeah. It really comes from just wanting to serve. And so when I got that first step into leadership, a lot of my peers were older than I was that had more experience. Because at that point, I was 27 years old. And I was like, what do I know? What am I going to teach them? But I really had that mindset of like, what can I do to help? What can I do to help you? I was at corporate, they were in the field. And so I just said, like, how can I help you be successful? And so I think a lot of really my leadership traits grew out of helping set strategy, remove obstacles, and getting out of the way. And it's fun when you can help people, you know, kind of expand their own opportunities and their own success and win. And so I've really always had that mindset.
It's a crucial mindset for leadership, because I think a lot of people get into leadership for the wrong reasons. And many get into leadership too early, right? We've all seen, and I was top performer to leader, not ready. You know, what you're then learning at the expense of your team, which can be, you know, disastrous. But kind of curious, in that first experience in leadership where you, you know, sort of took ownership for, you know, your career trajectory there, you know, took a step of, you know, not getting the title, not getting the pay, but taking on the responsibility. What were some crucial things that you learned in that, say, first 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, it was such an important time because I didn't know who I was as an identity of a leader. And so I read a lot of books. I think the one thing I've always had in my life is just like a deep curiosity of learning and knowledge. And I am a book reader. If you've got a great book, I want to hear about it, because I love to read and learn. And I just thought, okay, how do I seek knowledge and information? And the other thing that I think was really important that I really tried to embrace was just listening. You know, just like you have to be a good listener if you're a salesperson, you have to be a good listener if you're a leader. And really kind of honing a little bit of my understanding, not having to have all the answers. I think that that's sometimes we think when we get into a leadership position, we have to have all the knowledge, but really kind of treating like the team is like they're actually in the trenches. If you ask them what the problems and issues are, they will tell you. And often they have the best, you know, solutions to those problems. And so I really just recognize that I don't have to have all the answers. Really listening to my team and leveraging their expertise and their experience and helping elevate them is how everyone's going to win.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that can be hard for a lot of first time leaders, especially, and it can also be a little bit frustrating, right? Because you're like, oh, I know what needs to be done. And sometimes you almost just want to do it. And that would be the simpler path, right? But, you know, allowing your team to have a voice and let them find their own solutions and empower them is the right, you know, place to come from as a leader.
Absolutely, Colin. You nailed something that was really hard for me when I moved to being a second line leader. So when I was a first line leader, I was like, okay, either the team's going to figure this out or I can figure it out for them. And I actually moved from consumer hardware into enterprise software. And I thought, oh, this will be easy. you know, the quotas were so much lower, because when you're selling, you know, consumer hardware, you're selling multi-million dollar, very, very large deals. And when you're selling software, especially in the early days of SaaS, these subscription-based models were very small. So when I had the opportunity to switch into enterprise software, first of all, I didn't know anything about enterprise software. I hadn't sold it before. But I thought, a couple million dollars worth of quota? No problem. I could do that in my sleep. Mm-hmm. And then I recognized it's not the one deal, it's the 100 deals. Right? I couldn't just close the one big deal to save the day. And then I also recognized that it was the team that needed to close those 100 transactions. And all of a sudden I was like, they don't think they can. And so I recognized just like how our own self-belief system can really kind of put a ceiling and a lid on what our potential is. And when teams don't think that they can win, it really prevents them from being successful. And so I had to learn that I can't do the work for them. I need to teach them. So what I did is I really thought about, okay, if I was doing this job today, I learned the product, I created a system like in my own mind, and then I taught it to them. And in 6 months, we did more revenue than we did in the entire year prior. And I didn't pick up the phone once. And it wasn't because the team didn't have the tools. They didn't believe that they could. And they just didn't understand how the right strategy. And I didn't want them to fail either. And I certainly at that point, wasn't going to let enterprise software take me down in terms of a new or vertical and industry to conquer. And it was a fun ride on that area.
Yeah. So what were some things specifically that you worked with them to build up their confidence?
I'm a big believer in, first of all, just having a system. Because I think sales is a numbers game. And so many aspects of it, you need to have some structure and some process to really understand how you get what's at the top of your pipe all the way through. I think the second thing that's what's really important is not just that system, but it's like, what are those key metrics? And how do you measure yourself and challenge yourself to understand, okay, at every aspect of that funnel, like it's going to continue to fall out. And how do I learn the lessons from those? And I think that's the fun thing about transactional velocity, and I actually love the SMB commercial space, is that you have so many transactions that you're going, you can really start to see the patterns and the trends. Mm-hmm. And really just got the team to believe in themselves. I mean, that's what I think is the hardest thing in sales. If you don't have confidence, your customers feel that, you don't feel, you know, strong enough and really understanding maybe your product or the market, or just know the value that you have in solving problems, really making sure that people understood, what is our product differentiation? What's our value? How can we help serve? And always doing what's right for the customer. I'm a big believer there's only really three things that you can control. The first one's your attitude, the second one's your effort, and the third one's your intention. And I think in sales, sometimes the intention can get a little bit squirrely because we're all like pushing for the win and the dollar. But when your intention is to help and serve and make an impact and a difference and solve problems and add value, I think the universe aligns everything around that.
Yeah, you're right. The intention is the tricky one.
Yes. Especially when because, money's involved, right?
Yeah, especially, you know, with salespeople who, you know, large portion of their compensation is tied to commission. You know, it can be a challenge to manage that intention. So how do you help your team with managing their intentions, you know, with the goal of serving the customer and, you know, whatever their best interest is?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And I think it's something that we all need to stay grounded in. It's like reminding ourselves, ultimately, the customer is who we're here to serve. And in looking at that customer journey, I'm always about the best customer experience at the lowest cost to serve. And so I feel very unattached to kind of the outcome in a way, if the outcome isn't really around what's best for that customer. Because in my mind, kind of you're creating, I call it sales karma.
Yeah.
You're creating that energy where that is really going to serve you, or it's going to come back to bite you if you're really trying to game the comp plan or force a solution down, you know, a path where it's really not going to benefit the customer, or you really just don't have that right grounding. To me, I always ask, like, what's in the best interest of the customer? And sometimes that's going to lead you to a yes or a no, but I believe in the collective energy of when you do the right thing with that intention, you know, it'll all work out in the end.
Thanks for tuning in. Please don't forget to like and share so we can help more people transform the way they sell.